Thank you, Todd, for your introduction. And hi, everyone. Welcome to my presentation. In this presentation, I'm going to talk about the waterlogging project that we are doing in North Dakota State University. So excess water is one of the most important problems in dry bean production in our area. In this slide, each figure represents the most important problems in dry bean production in North Dakota and Minnesota. If you're looking at 2012, you can notice that excess water was not a big problem. That was number 9 out of 12. But in 2013, it jumped to number 3, and 2014 and 15, that was the most important problem in North Dakota. And for 2016, we don't have the results of surveys yet, but unfortunately, based on our observation, we still can say that this problem, excess water problem, is the number one problem in dry bean production in our area. So to tackle this problem, the first requirement is to have a better understanding of excess water and what is the stress and how plants can cope with the excess water. In general, plants are using two main strategies to deal with excess water. One is escape strategy. In this strategy, plants are developing new organs or modifying the morphology of existing organs to be able to transfer more oxygen from environment into the internal part of the plant. And the best examples of this strategy is developing adventitious root and shoot elongation. And also we have developing parenchyma tissue in some species. On the other hand, we have quiescence strategy. In quiescence strategy, plants actively suppress any morphological change that is related to the escape strategy to minimize the energy consumption. And this strategy is very similar to the hibernation process that we have in animals. And in this strategy, plants are just depend on a small amount of energy that is produced by carbohydrate catabolism and ethanolic fermentation. So there are two points that I want to mention here. One, different species develop different mechanisms to cope with their endemic flooding regime. So we should not expect to have a universal global strategy in all conditions, in all genotypes. And the second point is escape strategy is supposed to be more important for prolonged flooding, but quiescence strategy is more important for short duration flooding. So after this very brief introduction of what is the stress and how plants are dealing with this stress, we can start talking about our experiment. So in this experiment, we had three main objectives. First objective was to develop a quick, reliable methodology to screen genotypes in greenhouse at earlier stage. And second objective was to identify the most tolerant races, market classes, and genotypes. And the third objective was to identify genomic regions associated with the waterlogging tolerance using genome-wide association study approach. So to achieve this objective, we screened 562 different genotypes. Almost half of it belonged to Middle American Diversity Panel, and another half belonged to ADP, Andean Diversity Panel. For experimental design, we used RCBD with a split plot arrangement, and we had 4 replications with 2 samples per replication. At the phenotyping part, we screened our genotypes in our germplasm at 2 different stages. 1, germination stage. For that, we just measured the germination rate. And for seedling stage, we measured about 7 different traits, including total weight, shoot weight, root weight, hypocotyl length, and chlorophyll content that we measured by SPAD, and adventitious root and survival rate. And for each genotype, for each trait, we calculate the flooding index using this simple formula, and most of the numbers that we got was between -1 to 0. -1 indicates 100% reduction of that specific trait, that is in that specific genotype because of flooding, and zero indicates that we don't have any significant effect of flooding on that specific trait. And for genotyping part, we use two different platforms, genotyping platforms, and that yielded around 150,000 different SNPs for both panel, and we use GAPID and R functions for run the GWAS. So one of the first analysis that we have done was PCA principal component analysis, and we used the flooding indices for separate the genotype. So the figure on the left, just a three-dimensional representation of PCA. As you can see, we were able to separate two different gene pools that we have in common bean. Middle American gene pool, which is indicated by blue, and Andean gene pool genotypes that indicated by the red color. Not only among different gene pools, but also when we analyzed, we did the same analysis inside in gene pool, we were able to separate between the races. So we, from this part of our analysis, we conclude that flooding response of genotypes depends mainly on the geographical region, which is a very important part. And as I mentioned earlier, we were interested to identify the most tolerant races and market classes. So in this box plots, that what we have, on the x-axis, we have different traits, total weight, shoot weight, root weight, SPAD, hypocotyl length. These traits measured at seedling stage, and we have the germination rate. And on the y-axis, we have the flooding indices. As I mentioned earlier, most of the numbers that we got was between minus 1 and 0. So when we are look at the race level, what we identified that race Durango-Jalisco, which indicated by black color, is the most tolerant race. And you can see that more tolerant relationship specifically in the SPAD or chlorophyll content. We did also the same thing in for the among the different market classes. And in the market classes, Pinto and Great Northern market classes that belong to race Durango-Jalisco were the most tolerant market classes at seedling stage. When we went to the germination rate, interestingly, we found that black market class is the most tolerant market class at this stage. So, and the next part of our analysis, we used genome-wide association study to identify the regions that are associated with the waterlogging stress, and of course for all the traits that we have and for all the combination. This is just the results of root weight, just as an example. For example, in root weight, we identified a significant peak at the beginning of chromosome 8 at the flooding condition, but we could not detect the same QTL at the same region in non-flooded conditions. So we identified that QTL as a waterlogging-related genomic regions. And at the next step, we are going to develop molecular markers to be used in marker assistance selection breeding. Another part of our analysis, we did a syntony analysis between the QTL that already, the waterlogging related QTL that already reported in soybean, and we did the syntony analysis between those QTLs with our QTL, with our genomic regions to see if we can have any syntony. Interestingly, we found two QTL in the that already reported that is associated with waterlogging in soybean, one for root weight, another for germination rate, that they are in syntony with two genomic regions that we found in our analysis. So we still don't know if they are the same genes or not, but if they are the same genes, it indicates that they have a very evolutionary conserve mechanism between these two species that separated about 19 million years ago. And this is more a speculation slide and a comparison between two different gene pools, Middle American diversity and Andean diversity gene pool. In Middle American diversity gene pool, we could identify the strong correlation between chlorophyll content, shoot weight, and root weight, and based on this evidence and also the function of our candidate genes, we propose that Middle American Diversity Panel are using a quiescence strategy. But in Andean Diversity Panel, mainly because we saw a strong correlation between adventitious root and plant survival, we think Andean Diversity Panel are using escape strategy. Of course, we need more evidence, we need more data to prove or disapprove this hypothesis. And the last part of my presentation, we were interested to see if actually the results that we got from greenhouse, they are a good reflection of the field conditions. So we chose around 40 different genotypes, 20 from each Middle American Diversity Panel and 20 from Andean Diversity Panel. And we use RCBD with tree replication with a split plot arrangement. You can see the figure, how we design our experiment in the field. And we use the sprinklers to just transfer the water to the field. And we have just next to it our control plot. And we're still in the process of analyzing the data. And of course, we need more years, more replication of this experiment in different years to have a more robust conclusion out of that. And the last slide of my presentation, what we have learned from this study. The first thing that I want to mention, as I mentioned earlier, water logging tolerance mechanism is a function of genotype and developmental stage and flooding regime. So we should not expect to have a universal mechanism to tolerance mechanism for all the genotypes, all the developmental stage and flooding regime. This is very similar to most of the abiotic stresses are like that. So we need to consider those factors. And trait-oriented breeding should be adopted for market classes. And this is more obvious in our experiment, the market class flooding index that we found at highly tolerant response in Pinto market class, but Pinto market class was highly susceptible in the germination rate. So we need to consider the trait, we need to consider the developmental stage. And the last further studies are essential in the field condition to understand the interaction between genotype and environment. And one of the most important factors in environment part is disease, because mostly when we have the high moisture in the soil is more disease-prone condition. So we need to consider that. We need to have a better understanding of the interaction between these genes, these factors, and especially disease. And by that, I want to conclude my presentation. And our group at North Dakota State University, and Dr. Juan Osorno is the PI of the project, and I'm working as a postdoc there. And I will also thank to all the members of the group, especially Kate, which was actively involved in this project, and all the sponsors that sponsored the project. So by that, if you have any question, I will be glad to answer that.